us today. Get caught up in the role models that are outside of those that are religious, modest, and pious. We tend to take on other role models that end up taking us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is truly time each one of us, including myself, reflect on our own state and see, have we taken those like Fatima, who is the best role model for us? Have we mirrored her? Let's look at other virtues that Fatima had and see in ourselves if we too also have these virtues. Fatima had the most perfect and highest of taqwa. She was so aware of her Lord that in every moment of her life, she did only what pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one virtue stemmed many other good virtues. So I want to ask you guys who are watching, do any of you know any other virtues Fatima had? You can type it in the chat box if you would like. Fatima, salam alayk, was also known in the regards to the verse Tahira, spiritual purification, which was revealed in Surah 33, Ayah 33. Verily, Allah intends to keep off from you every kind of spiritual uncleanliness, O the people of the house, and to purify you with a thorough purification. Abdullah narrates that the Holy Prophet said, Fatima was protected for honor and chastity in such a way that Allah had entered her and her family into paradise because of her protecting of honor and chastity. The great scholar Al-Majisi explains some of her names as follows. Sadiqa means impeccable. Mubaraka means blessed in knowledge, perfection, miracles, and revered sons. Tahira means cleansed from faults and blemishes. Zakia means having infinite perfection. Razia means content with the fate set by God. Marzia means admirable, so that God and the believers admire her. Muhaditha means that angels talk to her. And Zahra means having a bright look physically and morally. She was also very charitable, that there have been many stories of her selling her own clothes, giving her own jewelry, and going days without food. So, time of conception. It seems befitting to go a little into her full life, from the conception of Fatima to her sad goodbye. As we go through this, inshallah, I pray we all reflect on the different parts of our life, and how in the most trying of times, she held a strong and highest of taqwa. During one of the Prophet's ascensions to the heaven, Prophet Muhammad consumed various fruits, fresh dates, and apples of paradise. Allah transformed this food into water in the loins of the Prophet. And when he returned to earth, he spent the night with Sayyidah Khadija, salam alayhi. And subsequently, the light of Fatima entered her room. Thus, Fatima is referred to the human Hori. It, in the sense that she lived on earth like a human, however, was from amongst the Hori of paradise. From that point onward, whenever the Prophet desired to smell the sweet fragrance of paradise, he would go to Fatima and smell her, as she emitted the fragrance of paradise and the tree of Toba. In regards to the Bab Hadith, which states his ascending, some argue about the dates and times in the hadith, whether or not it's authentic. It should be noted that the ascension of the Prophet was not limited to a one-time event, such that the incident may be doubtful. Rather, it has been related from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq al-Islam that the ascension of the Prophet of Allah took place more than 120 times. And each time, Allah advised the Prophet regarding the walaya, the Imam of Ali, and the imams after him, more than any other precepts and obligations. A report from her mother, Sayyidah Khadija salam alayhi, relates that, I was accustomed to living alone during this period, and when it would get dark, I would cover my head, draw the curtains, and lock the doors. I would then offer my prayers, turn off the light, and retire for the night. During that night, I was half awake when the prophet arrived and softly knocked at the door. I asked, "Who knocks at the door? For knocking at the door is not lawful for anyone except Muhammad." The Prophet of Allah replied with a sweet and soft voice, "O Khadija, open the door. I am Muhammad." I was overjoyed and opened the door, and the Prophet entered therein. It was the custom of the Prophet that whenever he entered the house, he would call for water, perform the ablution, and offer 2 units of recommended prayers. And then he would retire for the night. But that night, he neither asked for water nor prayed, but instead he reclined on the bed. He arose from the bed, and by Allah, the Prophet had not yet left me when I felt the light of Fatima in the womb and felt the heaviness of pregnancy within me. The Prophet made all his nation know through his repeated saying, "Know that Fatima, salam alayha, was apart from him, and that whatever pleased her would please him, and whatever displeased her would displease him." That she was apart from the Prophet means that she was infallible, since the Prophet was infallible. In the Hadith al-Thaqalain, when the Messenger of Allah said, "Verily I leave behind you 2 weighty things, the Book of Allah and my Ahlul Bayt, for indeed the two will never separate until they come back to me by the pond," the Prophet compared his progeny to the Book of Allah as an Amutu water tradition of Thaqalain, and since the Book of Allah is infallible from any falseness, so are the Ahlul Bayt al-Islam. Otherwise, the Prophet would have not compared them to the Book of Allah. Fatima was the head of the pure progeny of the Prophet and was the mother of all the infallible Imams, except for Imam Ali. Fatima's life as a wife. Munakib said, "Imam Ali said, by Allah, I never angered Fatima or forced her to do anything she did not like, up to the day she died, nor did she ever anger or disobey me. In fact, when I looked at her, depression and sadness would be removed from my heart." Here I wish to reflect on her duties as a wife. Was never shy of serving her Lord. Her obedience to her husband was due to her high taqwa. From the kneading of bread to the grinding of wheat, to even attending to the children and making sure they were always happy and taken care of. All these duties she did for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, she was more knowing than us that Allah is in need of nothing, but due to her knowledge, she knew and was aware of Allah in all her actions, which is to obey him. And with her highest perfection, she attended to the duties that were even outside of her duties asked by Allah. Let me give you an example. In Islam, a woman is not made wajib to cook food. It is highly recommendable. However, when one does it, it is a good for her and a good deed and is recognized as that. However, if one does it for a higher purpose, like to please her Lord, then this is even a better deed. Throughout Fatima's life, she was that always of the third category, in which she went over and beyond what was asked of her, only for her Lord. So Fatima's protest injustice. Fatima, salam alayha, felt grief by Abu Bakr's action and was so displeased with him when she knew of his attempt to seize Fadak. She accompanied a group of women to the mosque. There she sat down and delivered the following speech. Here I'll give you only part of it. You were despised, outcasted, always in fear of abduction from those around you. Yet Allah rescued you through my father, Muhammad, after much ado. And after he was confronted by mighty men, the Arab beasts, and the demons of the people of the book, whenever they ignited the fire of war, Allah extinguished it. And whenever the throne of the thorn of the devil appeared, or the mouth of the polytheist opened wide in defiance, he would strike its discord with his brother, who comes not back until he treads its wings with the sole of his feet, and extinguishes its flame with his sword. Diligence in Allah's affair near to the Messenger of Allah, O Muslims, will you inherit? Will my inheritance be observed? O son of Abu Quhayb, where is it in the book of Allah that your inheritance inherit your father, and I do not inherit mine? Surely you have come up with an unprecedented thing. You intentionally abandon the book of Allah and cast it behind your back? Do you read where it says, and Suleiman inherited Dawood? And when it narrates the story of Zechariah and says, so give me a heir as from thyself, one that will inherit me and inherit the posterity of Yaqub, and but kindred by hood have prior rights against each other in the book of Allah. The attack of Fatima's house. The eminent Sheikh Al-Tusi radiallahu wrote, one of the denied facts is that Umar and his followers hit Fatima, the blessings be upon her. Although it has been narrated that they flogged her with a strip, and a famous opinion that no one amongst the Shia scholars dispute about it is that Umar hit her in her stomach until she was forced to have a miscarriage, where the miscarriage babies was named Musa. The narrations is even famous amongst the Sunnis, as well as the narrations of their intentions to burn her house when a group of sincere companions who had refused to pay allegiance and sought refuge to her house. And no one can deny this narration because we have proven it from amongst the Sunni sources throughout the narrations of Al-Baladira and others. And the Shia narrations are numerous and our scholars indisputably accept them. If anyone is interested, you may take the following link to read through the numerous hadith that both Shia and Sunni in regard to the house being attacked and Imam Ali being forced into allegiance. I do want to make a note here that many of our Sunni brothers and sisters will argue the fact that everyone makes mistakes and sins, but Allah forgives them as they are companions. What we can see in Quran states that there is a possibility that they could turn back on their heels in Surah 3, Ayat 144. And Muhammad is no more than a messenger. The messenger had already passed away before him. If then he dies or is killed, will you turn back upon your heel? And whoever turns back upon his heel, he will by no means do harm to Allah in the least, and Allah will reward the grateful. Allah the Great has told the truth. Now I will end the discussion for her with her burial and her will to Imam Ali. She was buried in an unmarked and unknown grave. According to her will, her husband Imam Ali al-Islam did not leave any marks identifying her grave, and nobody knows where it is. Imam Ali was surprised to find that his dear wife had left the bed and had started doing housework. He asked her about it and she replied, "This is the last day of my life. I want to wash my children's hair and clothes because they soon will be an orphan without a mother." Imam Ali then asked her about the source of news. She told him that she had seen the Messenger of Allah in her dreams and he had told her that she was going to join him that night. Then she asked Imam Ali to execute her will. He said, "Instruct me to do anything you wish, daughter of Allah's Messenger." Ali then asked everyone to leave the house, and he sat next to her. Fatima Zahra Sanawaliyah started, "Cousin, you are not accustomed to me being a false teller, undevoted, or have I disobeyed you since I have become your companion?" Ali said, "Allah forbid. You are more knowing of Allah, more devoted, more pious, and more honorable, and more fearing of Allah than to reprimand you for disobeying me. Surely, it is a very painful for me to be separated from you and to lose you, but it is an inevitable destination. By Allah, you have renewed the sorrow I have just encountered with the death of Allah's Messenger. Surely, your death and departure will be a great calamity, but to Allah do we belong, and to Him we shall return. What a painful, bitter, and sad calamity. Surely this is a calamity for which there is no consolement, and a disaster for which there is no compensation. Then they both cried, and Imam Ali embraced her head and said, "Instruct me to do anything you wish, and certainly you will find me devoted, and I'll execute everything that you command me to do. I also shall put your matters over mine." She said, "May Allah reward you for the best of goodness. Cousin, first, I ask you to marry after my death my niece, Umaymah. Surely she will be to my children as I was. Besides, men cannot do without women." Fatima Zahra, salam alayha, then added, "I ask you not to let anyone who did injustice to me to witness my funeral, for they certainly are enemies of mine and the enemy of Allah's messenger. Also, don't give them the chance to pray over me, nor to any of their followers. Bury me at the night when the eyes are rested and the sight is put to sleep." Her last moments. Fatima bint Muhammad was ready to meet her Lord. She bathed, then laid down in her garments. She then instructed Asma bint Umays to wait a while and then to call her name. If there was no answer, this would mean that she had departed towards her Lord. Asma waited a while, then called Fatima's name, but there was no answer. Asma repeated the call. "O daughter of the chosen Muhammad, O daughter of the most honorable of them whom women bore, O daughter of the best of those who have walked on gravel, O daughter of him who was at a distance of two bow lengths or even nearer." There is no answer. Silence overwhelmed the house. Asma then proceeded towards Fatima and finds her dead. At that point, Hassan and Hussein entered and asked, "Where is our mother?" Yet Asma uttered not a word. Hassan and Hussein proceeded towards the mother and found her dead. At this, Hussein turned towards Hassan and said, "May Allah console you for our mother." Imam Ali was at the mosque. Hassan and Hussein went to the mosque and broke the news to their father. As soon as he heard their words, he fell unconscious. When regaining consciousness, he said, "Who will console me now, daughter of Muhammad? You used to console me, so who will take your place now?" A quiet funeral. In the dark night, her burial took place. The heartbreaking procession moved towards an unknown location, followed by a small number of devoted ones. They were Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Zainab and Kulthum, Abu Dhar, Amar, Miqdad, and Salman were following them. The family and their friends hurried to bury Fatima Zahra, salam alayha. Then they rushed back to their homes so that no one would know where Fatima was buried. In such a matter, the first started from Al-Bayt, set after the sun, and left everyone with only the light of Imamate. Listen to him. Imam Ali, he is speaking to Prophet Muhammad. "O Prophet of Allah, peace be upon you, from me and from your daughter, who has come to you and who has hastened to meet you. O Prophet of Allah, my patience about your chosen daughter has been exhausted, and my power of endurance has weakened. Except that I have ground for consolation in having endured the great hardships and heart-rending event of your separation. I laid you down in the grave while your last breath had passed. Verily, we are Allah's, and verily unto him shall we return, between my neck and the chest. Now the truth has been returned, and what had been given has been taken back. My grief knows no bound, and my nights will remain sleepless till Allah chooses for me the house in which you are now residing. Certainly, your daughter would appraise you of the joining together of your ummah for oppressing her. You ask her in detail and get all the news about the position.
This happened when a long time had not elapsed and your remembrance had not disappeared. My salam be on you both, the salam of a grief-stricken, not of a disgusted or hatred person. For it, if I go away, is not because I am weary of you. And if I stay, it is not due to the lack of belief in what Allah has promised the endurers. Ali's sharp sword. When the people entered the graveyard, they were confused as to which spot was actually Lady Fatima Zahra's grave. The people turned towards each other and with feeling of guilt said, O Prophet, our Prophet had not left behind but one daughter, yet she has died and was buried without participation in the funeral or the prayer rituals. We did not even realize the place where she has been buried. Noticing that a riot would have broken out because of the emotional atmosphere this event created, the government party announced, select a group of Muslim women and ask them to dig these graves so that we may find Fatima and perform prayers on her. A man from among the people called out, this is Ali ibn Abu Talib, leveling his sword and saying, if anyone moves, even a mere stone from these graves, I'll strike even the back of the last followers of the unjust. People who realized Ali's seriousness took his threat with complete belief that he would do just as he said, if anyone were to oppose him. Yet a man from the governor once addressed Ali by saying, what is the matter, Abu al-Hassan? By Allah, we shall dig her grave out and perform prayers on her. Ali then grabbed the man by his clothes, shook him and threw him to the ground and said, son of Sawada, I have abandoned my rights to prevent people from forsaking their faith. But as regards Fatima's grave, by him in whose hand is my soul, if you or your followers attempt to do anything to it, I will irrigate the ground with your blood. At this, Abu Bakr said, Abu al-Hassan, I ask you by the right of Allah's messenger and by him who is above the throne, leave him alone and we will not do anything which you have not approved of. Thus, until this day, the location of Fatima's grave remains a secret. And that completes this presentation. I hope that everyone had enjoyed going through her beautiful life and was able to reflect upon it. Inshallah. There is at the bottom a poll that is a little short answer, and you guys can do that. It asks just how my presentation was. It will help me with further presentations, inshallah. I will not broadcast the results. Jazakallah. And wa alaikum salam to the ones that had messages in the chat, so I wasn't paying attention too much there. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.